Is this how we support the troops? Is this what they had in mind when they said support the troops? Wait till you hear this story. It's just, you know, millions of stories. This is just one of them. We try to take them one at a time. Joshua Kors is on the line with us from New York. He is a writer. His webpage is joshuakors.com. He has a piece in The Nation magazine, which you ought to read, or at least you ought to listen to this segment of our program and find out about it. And you'll scratch your head and go, is this what we mean when we say support the troops? Hey, Joshua, thank you for being on our show this morning.
Good to speak with you, Charles.
This is a frightening story, and I suppose it goes beyond the case of just John Town, doesn't it?
Oh, it certainly does. Should I explain for your listeners what the situation is?
Yeah, can you start with John's story?
Absolutely. John Town is a soldier from Findlay, Ohio, had served honorably in the Army for several years, collected a dozen medals, and was perfectly healthy. Went to Iraq, and he was very near a missile explosion at his base in Ramadi. The explosion left him significantly deaf, shook his brain to the point where he was having memory problems and other, you know, post-traumatic issues. When he came back to the U.S., those issues were preventing him from serving, and he wasn't combat ready. They decided to discharge him. But instead of discharging him because of his injuries, they put him out on a personality disorder. And the reason that's significant is because a personality disorder is a pre-existing psychological condition so severe that someone can't serve. By doing it that way, they never had to pay him disability or medical benefits for the rest of his life.
People are going, now, wait a minute, this cannot possibly be true. You're telling me that this guy was okay to serve in the military. He had been in the military. You know, when you go in, they give you, such as it is, they give you some sort of screening to make sure that you're not or at least to do their best to make sure you're not some sort of a psychopath. So they subject the guy to a screening, and he serves for a long, long time, and he's decorated in the course of his service, and then a rocket goes off 2 feet above his head, and from that day forward, it's because he had a personality disorder when he came in?
That's right, and I think the significance of his story is that he is by no means alone. I spent 6 months speaking to soldiers across the country, and this personality disorder discharge was common. They seem to be using it for just about everything. I spoke to another soldier who came back with severe stomach pains. They said that was a pre-existing personality disorder. He thought it came from a hernia he suffered in Iraq. Other cases, people coming back with schizophrenic-type delusions. That was also classified as a pre-existing personality disorder. And as you said, the screening occurs as soon as people join the military. They receive a second screening shortly before deploying to Iraq. In all of these cases, the medical papers show that these soldiers were perfectly healthy. It's only after they come back and are wounded there's a significant financial interest in preventing them from receiving disability or medical benefits.
Well,
that's when the pre-existing disorder is discovered.
It sounds to me like it gets worse because, as you write in The Nation, this just this one fellow, Specialist Town, not only does he not get disability or VA medical care, on top of that, it looks like they want him to pay back his signing or his reenlistment bonus?
Yes, that's kind of the salt in the wounds for each of these soldiers. A pre-existing condition requires soldiers to give back the money they received in their bonus. In John's case, he received a $15,000 signing bonus, which soldiers get up front, and had to pay the bulk of it back. On their final day in service, most of these wounded vets find out they owe the Army several thousand dollars.
All right. Now, let's start to unravel this story, if we can, Joshua. What do the authorities say about John Town? What is their best case about John Town having a pre-existing condition that apparently eluded them during the years of his service?
Yes. Well, you know, it's interesting. All the military officials I spoke to, they pretty much gave flat denials, made cases that were just directly contradicted by their own military medical documents. In Towns' case specifically, I was told by Colonel Knorr, the chief of the Behavioral Health Department at Fort Carson, Colorado, where he served, that the reason they were not able to detect this pre-existing condition is because lay dormant for years and only comes out during times of great stress. I spoke with a professor of psychiatry in California who'd been treating wounded veterans there at the VA for decades. So that's absurd. That's just not how personality disorder works at all.
What are Specialist Towns' symptoms? How does he present?
The deafness is certainly one. I think it would boggle the mind of any listener to figure out how deafness could be a symptom of a pre-existing personality disorder. Psychological conditions just don't produce deafness. The memory issues, and I think any military family familiar with PTSD knows about the anger, rage issues that happens after a soldier returns from combat in Iraq.
How many soldiers has this have suffered this kind of a discharge?
In the last 6 years? 22,500.
22,000?
In the last 6 years, I'm sorry. That's across the entire armed forces. 22,500 soldiers.
Been diagnosed with personality disorder?
That's diagnosed and discharged with personality disorder. And yeah, I've spoken with discharge officials who are there in the armed services to process these discharges. They say they haven't seen a single one in which the soldier really does seem to have this pre-existing condition.
Now, the only motivation for doing something like this, I mean, look, the doctors, the therapists online, they don't have any motivation to diagnose a guy as personality disorder, unfit, to deprive him. I mean, what is the online guy? What is the doctor at the hospital care about whether this guy avails himself of medical services? He wants to give an accurate diagnosis. So the pressure has to be coming from somewhere, and I guess you have to look for the money behind the story.
It's very interesting. Delving into the motivation of these doctors was a key part of this story. People would say, what is the motivation of these doctors to misdiagnose? They don't have any financial interest in the military. To me, I think the driving factor is that they are just overwhelmed with soldiers. They have, every time you get rid of a soldier, usher him out quickly, you have three or four who are ready to take his bed at the hospital. So, they're overwhelmed for resources, and I'm sure you're familiar with how underfunded each of these military hospitals is. The quicker they can get them out, the quicker they can deal with the, vast array who are waiting for treatment. But you alluded to the political factor, and I think that's significant, too. I spoke with officials, lawyers, who handle these discharges at different military bases across the country, and they say that the colonels are putting pressure on the hospital staff to misdiagnose. So one told me that some of these military officials had come to him personally and told him that they're doing this.
Well, a colonel's not doing it unless he's getting pressure from a general.
And a
general's not doing it unless he's getting pressure from somebody upline from him, and it could be from the Department of Defense staggering at the medical costs that the Bush administration has incurred with this elective war.
Yes, there certainly is a chain of command, and where this pressure eventually comes from, I think, is something that should be looked into.
Do you have any idea what the money is involved in terms of denying people medical benefits, what the Pentagon may be thinking that it's saving?
I do. You know, in calculating how much they'd be saving over the lifetime of these soldiers, I looked into Harvard professor Linda Bilmes's recent study.
Yes, yes.
And she estimates that over the course of the lifetime of these soldiers, they'll be saving $12.5 billion. That's $8 billion for disability pay and the rest in medical care.
All right. This is, frankly, Joshua, your story is a little bit stupefying. That there is promiscuous use of discharges for personality disorder that manifests itself at some point when these service members are injured or need to avail themselves of medical care. They are discharged with a pre-existing condition, which is a personality disorder, which precludes them from taking advantage of veterans' medical care. Not that a spec four or whatever John Town was may know how to do it, but does the enlisted man, does the soldier in this case, have a right to appeal this kind of diagnosis?
Well, that's a key part of the story as well. The soldiers don't really know the fine print, and as all of the soldiers I spoke to said, they were directly lied to by the doctors. The doctors are saying, hey, I have a way to keep you out of Iraq, and you'll be out in a few days. You just agree to going along with the personality disorder. You'll get to keep your benefits. You'll get to keep your signing bonus. And you'll get to receive medical care from the VA. It's only on their final day, hours before they leave the base, they find out that none of those promises are true. That's part of the reason why so few of these soldiers are fighting it.
All right, hang on a minute. Joshua Kors is online with us. His web address is joshuakors.com. This story is in The Nation, and it's a story of John Town, how Specialist Town lost his benefits. Because even though a rocket went off 2 feet above his head, deprived him of his hearing, and he started shaking, and he was medically rattled, at his discharge, he was diagnosed as having a personality disorder. They let him go. He was booted from the Army, and he will not get disability, and he will not get medical benefits. Oh, that's great. More in a moment. 7:25, how do you do? This is KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, and I'm Charles Goyette. All right, let's go back to my telephone to New York and Joshua Kors, the strange story of a guy like Specialist John Town, who is discharged from the military because he has a pre-existing condition called personality disorder, and this has happened apparently to thousands and thousands of servicemen, and somebody is saving a lot of money. Who would be motivated to push down through the bureaucracy, through the chain of commands, to keep a lid on escalating treatment costs for returning Iraq war veterans?
Yes, well, who would be motivated?
Yeah.
Well, I think that's something that needs to be investigated. How high up this goes is something that only an investigation from Congress would be able to tell. At each base, I've been hearing that it comes from the military brass, but whether they're receiving it from a national source, I just can't say.
All right. What's going on with John Town now?
Well, really nothing. I spoke with him yesterday. He may be getting a minimum wage job at an oil filtering factory in Ohio. Beyond that, he still has that personality disorder discharge and, still has not been receiving disability or medical care. And, it's funny about his case specifically. Funny perhaps isn't the right word. Tragic, I suppose. His case really brings this entire scandal into focus because they gave him a Purple Heart for his wounds due to that rocket attack.
Right.
But yet they wouldn't recognize his wounds for disability pay or medical care. There seems to be a strange disconnect there.
Well, you've got guys in his unit saying he was one of the best in the entire unit.
That's true.
Did the military, in the course of this diagnosis and the discharge, come up with any evidence, like back in high school, before his term in the military, that he was whacked out?
No.
That's a medical term, by the way, John.
Yes, whacked out. What's interesting is that in his case, they didn't interview a single person. They didn't interview any of his friends or family. They didn't interview any of the fellow soldiers at the base who had served with him and could have testified to his exemplary service before the rocket explosion. And in every case, every soldier I spoke to who was diagnosed with this pre-existing condition, they also conducted zero interviews. When I spoke with Colonel Knorr at Fort Carson, he admitted to me that they don't routinely conduct interviews to see whether there is a pre-existing condition. He gave a strange justification. He said that friends or family don't have the keen psychological eye that he and his staff do, so that interviewing them would be of limited service because they wouldn't be able to recognize whether their son...
So what we're beginning to uncover here is that this is not objective medicine. This is ad hoc medicine. There is no objective, verifiable standard that can be confirmed for the diagnosis then of personality disorder that they used on Johntown and perhaps thousands like him. It's just somebody I've got a practiced eye, so I just trust me when I say this is what he has.
Yes, and you know, I think the whole, you go back to the psychological screening they received twice before serving in Iraq. If the system, even though it seems corrupted at this point, is actually set up to prevent these misdiagnoses from occurring. There are very specific conditions in the military discharge manual on what can and cannot be classified a personality disorder. In Towns' case, it's again specifically baffling because it says in the manual a personality disorder cannot be diagnosed if its symptoms are declared after a head injury.
Oh, there we go. Well, Joshua, good reporting and good work. I commend you and the story in The Nation, how Specialist Towne lost his benefits. Hey, just so thousands of GIs are deprived of medical benefits and save the administration billions of dollars, it's good enough for the rest of us, right?